Here we are with one of our favorite guys in the world, Joe Courtney, a congressman from Connecticut's beautiful 2nd District. He's been around in office since 2007. He's actually been around for before that. So, Joe, let's talk a little bit about you. You know, we talked last time. You had COVID-19 late last year. We hear about lingering effects. Do you have any?
I don't. Knock on wood. So, I have friends who have, you know, recovered or survived, I guess is sometimes they're described, and they still do have, you know, sometimes a little bit of vision, you know, a little taste and smell, but so far so good, and I appreciate you asking.
Well, we are very concerned about you. So this is our first conversation, obviously, since the Capitol siege on January 6th. What happens now that former President Trump has been acquitted in his 2nd impeachment trial?
So first of all, I would like to quibble not with you, but just the general use of the term acquit when they talk about this, because having practiced law for 27 years and been in a courtroom with a jury, as you know, that term applies when a jury unanimously find someone not guilty, and that was far from the case here. And I realize that's the term that I guess gets used in past impeachment proceedings, but personally, I just feel that getting 7 Republicans to step out of line, and we already know that they're getting blasted, you know, back home from their local Republican, it was quite extraordinary in my book. So, so I do think that that is something that is, you know, the biggest, I think, partisan crossover in the history of impeachments, presidential impeachments, and I think our House managers, who I know them all, and they just, in my opinion, hit it out of the park. I mean, I think every single one of them, obviously with Jamie at the lead, who talk about having a 30 years of teaching constitutional law and, you know, having to deal with his personal situation. It was a performance and I don't say that like it was theatrical. I mean, this thing was just in his DNA, was one for the ages. So having said all that, I think the speaker, you know, it was good. Speaker Pelosi was very strong in terms of following up right in the aftermath to remind everyone that we are going to do an independent commission. I think we call it the 1-6 commission instead of 9/11 commission, because it really, I think, does rank up there in terms of, the seriousness as far as our country's basic institutions and future, and I think, you know, clearly the Republicans, even some of those who voted not to convict, are going to be on board on that. The experience was just so universal in terms of what everybody, we were all witnesses, you know, we were all, I won't use the word victims, but we were certainly all witnesses to what was going on there. And talking to some of the Capitol police officers in the aftermath, you know, the 140 physical injuries, which had been, you know, repeated. And I didn't even know that, frankly, until about a week or so ago, that the number had climbed to that level. But there's no question that the trauma, you know, the invisible wounds are going to, you know, be part of these folks' lives. And I spoke to one personally who was not physically injured, but he was out there for hours, you know, fighting these, you know, animals that were trying to, get past him and hurt him. And he had been out of work from the 6th until they did the Brian Sitnik viewing in the Capitol Rotunda. That's the officer who did lose his life. So he was out for a couple weeks, and you could tell he was still, very physically kind of shook up. Yeah. And by the way, the guy, you know, he's a big guy. I mean, I'm looking up to him while I'm talking to him, and I'm 5'9", so I'm relatively short, but he's not somebody who I think has, you know, he's physically a strong person, and but what he had to put up with was just, again, it's going to haunt him and his colleagues for many years to come, and it's going to be a much bigger number than 140.
So looking back on Donald Trump, looking back on the potential for fascism in this country, how close do you think we came?
We came very close, and that security footage, which, again, was no one had seen before, You know, one example of how close we came was the Pence footage and the Mitt Romney footage, where you know, they were really within yards of the mob and minutes of the mob, and you know, the police radio communications and the, you know, the cell phone intercepts and the text intercepts show that you know, there was definitely a plan to physically go after Pence, and that was all about bringing down the, you know, the Article II process that was going on there, which was about peaceful transfer of power. And as Jamie pointed out so eloquently, you know, really the kernel and the fundamental element of our democracy has always been that moment, the peaceful transfer of power, which is really when democracies are always at their most vulnerable point. And this guy was clearly hell-bent in terms of stopping that in its tracks, using physical force. So, you know, that's certainly an autocratic impulse that, you know, was amok, running amok. And we all know, I mean, his respect for things like freedom of press, you know, judicial independence, you know, was really totally in sync with autocratic rulers in the past and in the present, which is totally unprecedented threat in terms of our democracy.
Well, you know, you were there. Let me ask you a question. Republican Senator Johnson now says the attack didn't seem like an armed insurrection. Ron Johnson, that was, of course.
Yeah, I mean, so I was in my office building, like most, probably the majority of members that were there. You know, we had a emergency alert come over the intercom, which I'm in starting my 15th year in the House. That's never happened. We've had tests of the system, but that's never happened where, you know, lock the doors. We didn't barricade, but I know other members that certainly did. Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez described, you know, that going on in her office, and appropriately so, because there was no clear intel that you had in terms of, you know, whether or not the office buildings had been breached. You know, the one thing that I think the impeachment proceeding in the Senate did is that for a lot of us who still had somewhat of a narrow slice of the event in terms of what we personally experienced, I mean, we all learned something about just how you know, incredibly violent and out of control the situation was there for, you know, hours. And so, so in any case, I mean, Johnson's attempts to sort of poo-poo this, I think, are just, you know, ludicrous. And you know, him, you know, getting into a verbal exchange with Mitt Romney because of his vote, having Mitt Romney just seen, you know, how that Officer Goodman saved his life, or certainly saved his physical safety, you know, it's just unbelievable, out of touch, skewed. You know, I mean, sometimes you can say that about politicians in terms of their interpretation of events that are happening in other parts of the world or the country, but, you know, this happened right. That was the scene of the crime, you know, was in the Senate chamber.
So let me ask you a fast question because we're running out of time, but it's well worth asking. Were the shoe on the other foot? Was it a Democratic president who had done something really despicable, as this guy, Trump, did? Would you have, you know, had the guts, frankly, to call out your own party president?
I mean, I think, you know, when we're talking about things like transfer of power and constitutional processes like, you know, the Electoral College tally, you know, I believe in my heart that I would have gone against a Democratic president. I just feel that, you know, I mean, I always tell people I did get a chance to see the movie Hamilton, and, you know, my favorite part of that show is when George Washington, you know, was telling Hamilton that he was going to leave office, and how, you know, shocking that was to Hamilton, the character. And, yeah, you know, it was true. That was just like an unbelievable decision on his part. But it really, it goes to the heart of, you know, what's so special about our Constitution and our country. And so, you know, to me, that is the crown jewel, you know, and I certainly every impulse in my itself is to protect that crown jewel.
Joe Courtney, we love talking to you. You are a gem as far as I'm concerned. You went through the COVID. You know what it's all about. And we are so appreciative that you've been here with us. Thank you so much. When we come back the next time, let's get some more questions.
Thanks, Alan.